Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we welcome renowned collegiate golfer, professional golfer, broadcaster, course designer, and so much more. It's the one and only Bobby Clampett who joins us. So stay tuned and get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad to be along this hour. We have great guests. Well, we say that every time we have great guests, but this is, I can't help it. It's just what happens. You get great guests. You know, you're involved with the golf industry, the world of golf, and you know, guys like Bobby Clampett, you know, are interested in coming on back on your show. Bobby was on, last year, maybe early in the year, but you know, we digress because we have him on now, and that's the important part. We're talking about Bobby Clampett. The guy who was a television golf analyst, he's a golf course architect, he's a writer, he's a professional, been a professional golfer, but he was a three-time All-American and two-time Haskins Award winner, making him the Collegiate Golfer of the Year. So much more, but that's a quick resume wrap. I'll let Bobby tell you the rest. Bobby, thanks
no,
for coming.
How much do I owe you for that?
I forgot half of that stuff I did. Holy cow! No, you didn't. No, you know, you were a standout at BYU, and you know, and people really. I miss you being on television. You know, I usually people say
I miss being on television. It's 29 years. It gets in your blood, and it was a good run and. It was fun, but I'm enjoying life right now, too.
Okay, that's fine. As long as you're enjoying life, that's the important part about life. You need to enjoy it, that standpoint. And golf on television has changed so much. I usually turn the sound. People say, you watch golf on television? Well, I'm watching it for different reasons. I'm probably watching it more like Bobby would watch it and looking at the swings and the analyzing what's going on and all that kind of stuff, see how these guys are playing. Because people are just talking way too much. Yeah, your old friend Frank Cherkinian would still be rolling over.
Let the pictures tell the story, as was a typical Cherkinian comment.
That sounds right from what I've heard. I'm quoting.
Yeah, I
got you. It's interesting having great Ken Venturi on the show over the years and getting to know the guys that worked on some of the broadcasts and all that stuff. That was a great time. To be around, you know, the professional golf and CBS had the Masters every year. Still does, obviously, but you know, I mean, just the stories that people have.
And Frank was the best mentor ever. Really miss Frank and the times that we had. So many years working together, and you know, he was one of those kind of coaches. Of course, he was executive producer as well as director, so he had two people's jobs. Yet he still had time to listen to us and give us feedback. And I valued everything he had to say to me because I knew whatever he had to say to me was sincere and I went to town with it. And, you know, one of the things he said to me a lot, he says, don't tell me something that's obvious. Like, don't say the ball missed the fairway to the right. I can see that. I've got eyes. Tell me something why that happened. And that's actually pretty profound when you think about it, because Frank would always want us to say something to the audience or tell the audience something that they didn't already know. And I think that's something that's missing a little bit in today's world of golf broadcasting.
You're being kind a little bit. He said a little bit. That's really, really gracious of you to say a little bit. It is astounding.
Well, they're saving some money there in the networks by doing that, but that's about it.
All right. Well, we didn't bring Bobby on to talk about Frank this time. I think we're going to do towards the Masters in April. I think we may do a whole show with you and your memories of Frank. And I mean, the guy put CBS on the map, and he put the Masters on the map television wise. I mean, that whole thing is just phenomenal, and people that work directly under him, I know it was so many stories, and we have to clean it up a little bit for radio, but other than that, so the FCC doesn't knock on the door, you know.
Well, you think about it, he is the one who brought golf on television. And what he saw and what he invented and created really set the standard for years and years to come. And so many of the people, you know, Seller Shy now took over for CBS. He worked under Frank. And of course, before him was Lance Barrow. And Jimmy Rickoff is there, and Steve Milton's there. And all these guys that worked under Frank are still in the production truck. And who was their mentor? Frank Turkinian.
Yeah, but, you know, see, even CBS has been swapping out talent. And I use that term talent and with quotation marks around it. But it's interesting to me because, you know, I mean, I understand that things run their course. And McCord, you know, he did his own thing. And, you know, and they got rid of Casas and a number of other people have been there for a long, long time. But that upsets people because they're used to, like you said, you did it for 29 years. And actually, Bobby Clampett was pretty good at it. You know, you know the golf swing.
Thank you.
You're very successful collegiately. And then you won a few times professionally on the regular tour, on the PGA Tour. And then you played on the Champions Tour. So you've got all that experience to bring along with you.
Well, it's something that I love to do, and I love working with a team, and to have people like Jim Nance and David Faraday and Gary McCord and Peter Osterhaus over the years, and Ken Venturi, of course, for so long, to have them to be your team. It was an amazing team, and it takes years to build chemistry with a team. And Frank was the master at helping us build that chemistry naturally. And we had such good times together, having dinner together, traveling together, the times we'd go play golf together. It was just, I enjoyed that time so much.
Yeah, it's interesting because you said that the camaraderie building, and that's a throwback to me, back to when Jimmy DeMeritt and Bob Toski and Sam Snead and all those guys were going around together. You know, they had their caravans, and, you know, and when you talk about the production, you do get tighter in any sort of business when you have that social element as well.
No question. And the position lends itself to that because, you know, and Frank would make sure we knew that the chemistry is what people feel. They can tell. They're listening. The ones that listen a lot, they can really tell who are the people that have the chemistry together and who works well together and who are the ones that it's kind of forced. And when you can be light and free and natural and talk golf, it's like people are sitting in their living room enjoying the conversation of the experts, and that's what we tried to create.
Yeah, but that a lot of that is gone now because the networks don't like you being free and easy. It's got to be very segmented and very almost static, you know, and it takes away a lot of that enjoyment from a viewer standpoint because they do want to learn. When I'm watching a golf broadcast, I'd like to learn some things, not just from the players that I'm watching, but, you know, the guys that are supposedly the experts or the analysts. An analyst is usually somebody that played the game at a top level and knows what's going on more so than just the everyday guy.
Yeah, you know, it's not another 180-yard 7-iron with the back right hole location. There's so much more to it than what is typically being said on the air today. And, you know, that's the nature of the beast. Times change, leadership changes, and people come in. It becomes, well, to be honest with you, it's a business, right?
Yeah.
And so they paid us talent a lot of money, and we were paid well, we were compensated well, we were treated well. And when new regimes came in and said, well, that's too much for that position, look what the Golf Channel's paying these guys. And then zap, you know, we're gone. So it's a sad, but sadly, money drives a lot of these decisions.
Well, you know, it is sad. You mentioned the Golf Channel. There's another prime example. The Golf Channel is going to exist in some form, but it's been a shell of itself for many years now. And now with Comcast putting it on the block, who knows what you're going to get?
Yeah. Well, the Golf Channel has been an amazing journey, really. I mean, Arnold Palmer started it, and it was a great vision, and it's been a remarkable road in a difficult industry to make a go of it, and they've worked hard to put together what they've put together. It was really, I mean, it was Arnold's vision, and he put the people together and made it happen. And it's I'm rooting for the Golf Channel. I hope it's around forever. But yeah, they've had their struggles, no doubt.
All right, but you are not doing television anymore officially, and you haven't for quite a while. And you have
5 years now, yeah.
You've not been playing professionally for quite a long time. You got more into instruction. You got this Impact Zone that you started a number of years ago and such. So you're still heavily involved with the game. But where are you going? What direction are you taking as far as what's your next step? Because you know, when you look at a guy's resume like yours, you have done so many things in and around the game of golf. And there's always something else for you.
Well, there is. And I've been fortunate that way where there has been something else for me every step of the way. And I've let my passions drive that to a degree. And you can imagine, I started the game when I was 10 years old. I've been around the teaching world a lot, whether it's taking lessons myself or whether it's being with my buddies on the PGA Tour who took lessons, and we talk about it a lot. And something was really bugging me for a long time because I didn't feel like golf lessons were being taught right. I felt like everybody was coming up with a new style, writing a new book, you know, a stack and tilt style or a one plane style or a two plane or a gravity golf swing or a swing or a stack and tilt swing or whatever it is. There's all these different styles. And I'm sitting with the guys at CBS studying this. And I spent a lot of time with Nicklaus and Palmer and Johnny Miller and Trevino and playing golf with them week after week on the PGA Tour and watching some of the greatest ball strikers of all time with weird, unorthodox swings that don't do anything that all the teachers are advocating are the necessary positions you need to be in to be a good golfer. And it finally dawned on me when CBS in 2005 came out with the Bisub Swing Vision camera, and they won an Emmy Award for the technology. And it's still around today. Everybody has it, and it's part of every telecast. And for the first time, I would have the guys in the Moxie truck, Charlie and Mike and John, queue up film of players' swings. And I kept studying what they were doing. And at that time, I was on the course. Frank had me kind of going different places, either roving or 15th tower. And so I got to spend quite a bit of time on the course. And what I noticed was these guys do everything so differently. They're upright swings, they're flat swings, they're shut at the top, they're open at the top, they're laid off, they're across the line. They've got short backswings, they got long backswings, and then downswings, it's all over the place in terms of positions and look and footwork. And then it dawned on me, it's what they create at Impact that's virtually the same. And so I went down this road of studying what they do at Impact. And I contacted my longtime friend, Andy Brummer, who had been after me for 10 years or more to write a book with him. And I said, Andy, I got something on my chest I got to get off. What do you think of this? And he goes, love it.
With Bobby Clampett heading to our first break, we'll be back. He's spending the hour with us, so we've got lots of stories coming your way from Bobby. Back with Bobby Clampett telling stories about his book. Well, the first one anyway. I'm sure he's got more up his sleeve, but you get together and they come up with this idea for a book. So,
yeah, In 2005, after watching all this tape with the Biz Hub Swing Vision camera, it dawned on me that the impact of all these players is virtually the same. How they get there is so different. And I had to write a book on what is the common denominator of all these great players. It's their great impact. And what is it that they actually do at impact that makes their impact so good? So we talked about flat lead wrists, stabilizing the club face. We talked about where the bottom of the swing arc is. They all compress the ball. They all take ball divot. And their swing bombs were all virtually in the same place, 4 inches in front of the center of the ball. And then what do? Well, they load the club on the backswing. They have lag. They have the body or pivot that brings it down, and then they deliver the club shaft down the straight plane line. Some are a little bit in to out, some are a little out to in, but they play that shot and they do it consistently. And that's basically it. So all this discussion in the golf world about where are you at the top? You know, Jack Nicklaus has got the flying right elbow. How about Miller Barber's old flying right elbow? And shoot, I played with Eamon Darcy, the Irishman who had one of the goofiest looking swings. He made Jim Furyk's swing look conventional. And so you play with these guys and you just go, you know, even my good friend Bernard Langer, not the textbook golf swing, but look what he's been able to create in his career. So that's really, and when you look at it, so much emphasis over the years has been put on style, and I call it style-based teaching, that we decided to call our way of teaching impact-based teaching, because we actually work on improving people's impact, and we don't care about what style they use. That's their individual signature. Just got to be functional, and whatever we change is for the purpose of making impact better and measuring everything. And now we have all this great technology that proves everything that I've been preaching for the last 15, 20 years. And we're just having a lot of fun doing it and helping people.
I mean, you come out with this book in 2007, late in 2007, you get together with Andy, and here we are, you know, 2024, and it's still so relevant. And there are certain things that just stand the test of time and make so much sense. It's almost like an aha moment, Bobby, when you sit and you pull back the curtain, you go, aha, you know, because there it is. It's just, it's.
Well, and it was an aha moment for me, Keith. And one of the things that I had never heard about in the history of the game, I'd never heard about where the bottom of the swing arc should be. But it dawned on me watching these guys where they had it. And then I went out and measured mine, and I wasn't playing great at the time. And I noticed my bottom of my swing arc was only about 2 inches in front of the ball, where theirs was 4. So I started working on getting my swing bottom where it needed to be. And man, did I start playing better. And then I started coaching my son's middle school and high school golf teams and getting them to get good impact, and had great success helping them. And just watched what happened. And after the impact zone was written, I had no idea the response. And in 2011, about 3 years after the book was written, the PGA contacted me and said, Bobby, we want you to speak at the National Teaching and Coaching Summit, because in the top 100 instructors interview, over a third of them named your book as the most influential book in their teaching. And I thought, really? And I'm not even a teacher. I'm still broadcasting and playing the Champions Tour. And I thought, that's amazing. And we were getting lots of letters and, can you certify us? This is the future of golf instruction. And a real aha moment I had was they had these, the six featured speakers at the National Teaching and Coaching Summit, which is 500 coaches from around the world, and they do this once every 2 years. So I was one of the six featured instructor teachers, and wasn't even a teacher. It's kind of funny. And they had breakout sessions, and after all the speakers were finished, and of the 500 attendees, about 450 came to my breakout session. And I thought, you know, I don't even teach golf for a living, and look what's happening. So that's led a number of things that have happened since then, but kind of pull full circle now to, that's what I do full time and have done, and we're based here in Naples, Florida. And I just love teaching. I've got a great staff that I've trained personally, and they're doing great and making a difference in the world of golf.
Excellent. We're with Bobby Clampett. We're heading to the bottom of the hour break, but we'll be back on the other side with BC.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter. The Lama. Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
And we're back to start the second half hour of the show, spending it with Bobby Clampett Jr. He has two sons. Neither one did he name Robert or Bobby, so there's not a third. So,
well, that's not true. That's true. Robert Daniel the Third. We call him Daniel, but he is Robert Daniel the Third.
Oh, thank goodness! I was like, how did that happen? I'm like, how do you get away? I mean, come on! I know it's difficult to follow in, you know, renowned father's footsteps. However, you know, you got to carry the lineage. Okay, so thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Shoo. I was like, what?
Well, I wasn't the only one making that decision. But thanks, yeah.
Hey, you had a putt right there to win all the money, and hey, you know, you had to take it. So there you go.
Let's take it. Yeah.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so this impact zone thing, we talked about it last time you were on the show, and it's really taken on a life of its own. And in talking with, I've been very fortunate with this show, having the likes of McLean and Malaska and Toski and Ledbetter, and the list goes on. Not just a matter of factly, not ego bragging there or anything else. But it's interesting because you said, I am not a teacher. However, the best instructors are the ones who have played at a top level, whether it's collegiately or professionally. Because there are a lot of teachers that never played like that. Do you find that? It's got to be really. It's been insightful for you, but it has to really add to that credibility of knowing what you're talking about.
Well, the big name teachers, many of them, like Jim McLean. Jim McLean played college golf at Houston and played a lot of mini tour stuff.
Right.
And Butch Harmon was a good player. But you look at and I love David Ledbetter. He's one of the great people on the planet. But he's not that good a golfer. And Dave Pels is, was maybe at best a 5 or 6 handicap, but a great student of the game and wrote the Short Game Bible. And you look at the history of teachers, not that many that were players decided to get into teaching. And, you know, a lot of people thought I was crazy when I left the Champions Tour to go into teaching full time. They're like, you know, it's almost parallel to why didn't you become a caddy? You're going to be one of those, you know, teachers. But for me, it was a passion. And I felt like, and as I got into it more and more, Keith, I realized that the game's a bit in trouble and has been in trouble for quite a while. Back in 2000, we had 32 million golfers. And in 2021, 21 years later, we're down to 24 million golfers. We lost a third of our golfing population. A lot of the courses I grew up playing in California in junior golf were gone to pasture. And a lot of my friends that were club pros left to go and to be real estate salesmen or, you know, different things. Golf has been struggling, and COVID was a real savior for it because now we're up to 26 million, but we're still 6 million short of where we were 25 years ago. So it's been a sad tale. And when you look at the National Golf Foundation, great organization, comes up with some great statistics, and I love facts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And love looking at what they're coming up with.
Yeah, with you.
And quite frankly, they talked in some of their material, they talked about how the 4 million golfers that quit every year, why do 4 million golfers quit? And we've been getting about 4 million to 5 million lately starting up again. which is helping keep the numbers. But we gotta stop 4 million golfers from quitting every year. That's 15% of our golfing population quit every year. And why do they quit? Well, you talk about it's too expensive and it takes too much time. But if you really start to peel the onion, the National Golf Foundation has really pulled it back some. They talk about it. They say it's too hard, but they also say that it's they get frustrated. They don't get any better. And too many golfers peak at their 2015 handicap, and they never, or 25 or 30, and never break through that. And it's frustrating for them, and they go, well, I'm just not very good at this game. So they quit. And personally, I think the industry itself has not done a very good job of helping golfers become better. And that's where I feel like my role is to help do that, and that's what we're doing right now.
Talking to Bobby Clampett on TW Keith Jones. Bobby, I started this show back in March. It's actually March 15th, but March of 1998. And I say that for factual as well for you, because I'm a facts guy as well. At that time, the National Golf Foundation was doing a great job doing the statistics. And it was 3 million at that time, if I recall correctly. 3 million come into the game every year, 3 million leave the game. Now it's gotten even worse. But it is a matter of having the time. And everything is, the golf clubs are so expensive. The golf balls are ridiculous. Well, you don't have to play the Pro Vs. You know, you don't have to spend 50 plus dollars on a dozen of balls. Okay, for that, Snips. You can get them less. That's why Costco and Kirkland have done so well over the years from that, because, you know, they don't make their own balls, yeah. But, you know, that type of thing. But it, so it's that. And then, but a lot of it is that F word you were talking about, frustration. Because no matter what level you are, that frustration leaks in, even the top guys. Yeah. You see, I mean, the top level where you played, you know, this guy, you see those guys get frustrated on the course. Different, the little tweaking, a little different, but it gets magnified the lower you go. The higher your handicap, the more frustration is involved. But nobody has really been shown the way. And while we always preach, you know, get your lessons and work with a PGA professional and all those things that you should do, you know, there's a cost to that as well, but it needs to be, the golf swing needs to be simplified. And even though I just thought of Mo Norman popped into my mind because he had a very unorthodox, but he made a lot of sense in what he was doing, and it was easier for a lot of people to play that. Not that I'm a proponent of that, but the game needs to be made easier, and I just mean technically easier. For people, you don't need to make the hole on the green bigger or what have you. Different things have been kicked around, and yeah, I don't think that's a solution. But the swing itself needs to be simplified. And I mentioned the Golf Channel earlier in the show, and they used to have the instructor. The Monday nights used to be like instruction hour, and they'd have so every night they'd have a different instructor on there. And if you watched it for 2 weeks in a row, by the end of that 2 weeks, you were totally confused. So
because everybody's teaching something different, saying you should be doing this.
And, right.
You know, what I'm preaching is everybody should have the same impact. And let's take a look at your swing and what you do. And for example, so people credit me with inventing low point. And the low point that I wrote in the Impact Zone back in 2007, I suggested the tour players have it 4 inches in front of the ball. Now we have all this great technology, Foresight and TrackMan, and they've supported my findings and say it's exactly where the swing bottom is with the pros, 4 inches in front of the ball. And I did a study. I actually hired my godson to do a study, and it took several months to do it. Did 100 golfers at a public driving range, had them hit some shots, measured their low point, the average low point of their swing, asked them what their handicap was. And you know what we discovered? That on average, for every inch that your swing bottom is behind the 4 inches in front where the pros have it, equates to 4 shots around on your handicap per inch. And it was just a straight line that direction. And so that's a pretty big thing. And how many people, when you go up and ask them, where's your low point in your swing? Well, I have no idea. Well, it's probably one of the most important things to make sure you know where it is, because that gives you your greatest margin of error and the most consistent chance of hitting a solid shot. And if you don't know that and you don't know where yours is, how are you going to play better golf?
You're not. I mean, that's just right to it. You're not going to.
You know, I don't care what your swing looks like. Get the club there at impact.
So how do people process? When you preach the bottom line, how do you get people to quickly understand that? You would think it would be easy to do that, but it's not always.
I mean, you can put it back in your stance, and it's interesting. Some people, because they don't understand the process of what we call load lag in the workhorse, which is really the secret to moving the swing bottom forward, so they'll put it back in their stance, but then their load lag and workhorse gets even worse, and you can't get it that far back in their stance to make it work. So it's not as simple as just moving the ball back in your stance. Maybe if you're 80 years old and you don't have any lower body anymore, possibly. But you got to work with what you've got. And that's the bottom line. Everybody's got learns differently. They've got different talent levels. They've got different athletic abilities. They've played different sports. And you can't put everybody in the same box, which is what too many instructors have done over the years. Say, oh, no, you got to be this way or you got to be that way.
Yeah, it's a challenge, and it obviously has been. So you've obviously had successes along the way, and you're looking to move this even further ahead. What can people look for from you, or what's the best way to start understanding the impact zone and the impact zone teaching from you?
Well, it's dawned on me that there's some different certifications out there, and there are different teachers that work hard to learn and see what's out there. And then everybody's kind of on their own to develop their own kind of thing. And they take bits and pieces from different people, and it gets confusing. And there's never been anybody that's written a soup to nuts curriculum for golf instruction. And so using the impact-based theories and the approach that we use for impact-based instruction, teamed with Andrew Wood, who's a legendary marketer and a big proponent of impact-based teaching, and has taken thousands of lessons from different pros himself over the years, and fell into my way of teaching and just loves it. And so together, we are working on building the most comprehensive online instructor training ever created. And we just put the first one in the books, and we're launching it the 1st of January. And we're going to have three different levels. We've actually already got the roughs in on the second and third level, and it'll be following very, very soon. In fact, I'm working on it this evening as we talk about it. And I'm really excited about it, Keith, because it's going to be everything that an instructor needs to be a good instructor, no matter where you are, whether you're just beginning or whether you're an experienced teacher and you want to be better, because it's everything from not just how to improve people's impact and giving lots of examples, and not just how to use today's technology of launch monitors and motion pressure plates and, you know, all the different things that we have available to us now, which are fantastic. I love this technology that we have. But people, instructors need to know how to sell themselves. They need to know how to package lessons. And they also need to know how to market themselves. And there's nothing out there teaching them how to do those things. And we have such great opportunity today with social media and emails, and there's so many different ways to reach people. And I'll give you an example. So most teachers, if you interview most teachers, they average giving about two lessons to a student a year. Two lessons to a student. How much can you really help somebody giving two lessons to a year?
Not much.
No. And so, most of my students, take about 40 to 50 lessons with me a year. And we get some traction, and I'm with them constantly. We do online lessons, which is going to be part of the curriculum that we're bringing out. 12% of my lessons are online now. And we've got technology to be able to do that. I've got some students that even have their own simulators in their basement, and we do live lessons on their sim when we can be thousands of miles away. So we're in a place with technology today that we can really help people. And why do we want to help people play better golf? Because it's really the juggernaut to keep them in the game. And ClubCorp recently came out with a study by a guy named Ian James, who did a long time, about 5-year study, I think it was, of 175 courses that ClubCorp managed. And he discovered, when it comes to good teaching, some of the clubs had academies with trained instructors and technology, and were really focused more on the instruction side, where others had some of the guys in the shop, but they weren't really trained instructors, and so they didn't really have an instructor program or teaching program. And they found this, Keith, that I thought was really interesting. They discovered that the clubs that had the typical, you know, guys in the shop give a few lessons, had a membership attrition rate of 12%. And the clubs that had a full-blown academy and a whole teaching program had a membership attrition rate of 1.8%. And you think about that for a minute. An average club that has about 300 members, you're talking about in savings. Now, might not be right now because post-COVID, we're in pretty good shape, and most clubs are pretty well off and doing well. But it's the time for them to invest. Because most clubs, if you go back to 2000 through 2020, in that time period, that would save each club about $1 million a year. And you look at $1 million a year per club savings because of golf instruction, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
But when you really look at it and put pencil to it, that's what it comes out to. And it's about time that clubs around the world start looking at taking their staff, and their staff are very capable, but they're not trained. So train them to be golf instructors. Invest in some technology. Put some TrackMans and Foresights and out there, and put some balance plates, build a building, start programs, get a junior program out there. Let's get some good juniors going. Let's get the women's program out there. Let's get some clinics going. Let's get some real excitement around how to improve your golf game.
No question about it. With Bobby Clampett, back to wrap up the show after this break. And we're back for our final segment. Get out there and improve your golf game. The words of Bobby Clampett. You know, and it's so simplistic the way you phrased it, but that's exactly. They have to be engaging. The club needs to engage the members, and the members need to feel like they're being engaged, so they will be engaged.
Exactly, and so you don't know what you don't know, and God bless our pros that work at clubs. It's a hard job. They got to wear a lot of hats. They've got to satisfy a lot of different people. It's a balancing act, and I take my hat off to each and every one of them because they're so needed in our industry, and they do a really good job of that. But they're not trained instructors, most of them, and it's not a blow to them. It's just what it is. They're trained more to manage the business of the club. And we've gotten to a place where I believe in the industry, we need to train instructors. And some of these guys, a lot of these guys want to teach more. In fact, there's a recent statistic showing, like with the PGM programs, that there's a lot more interest in teaching than there used to be. And so I think it's fantastic. But who's going to train them? Who's going to teach these guys how to sell their packages? Who's going to teach these guys how to market themselves? And who's going to teach them how to really improve students' games of all types and teach them with good technology? Because technology is important. It creates the biofeedback. It proves the point. It gives objective data. So it's not guesswork anymore. You can see right then and there, are these impacts getting better? Are they not getting better? And proof's in the pudding.
I guess
so that's what we need to do.
I guess the answer is this hour's guest, Bobby Clampett, is going to lead that charge that way. So obviously people are going to say, okay, there's got to be price points involved. How far along are you in this whole online community?
We'll be releasing it in January. The best thing people can do is come to our community, which is impactsongolfcommunity.com, and join the community. It's free. We've got all kinds of interesting things in there, a lot of features and tips and so on. But we'll be getting pros more and more information about our instructor certification program. But even beyond that, we have a Powered by Impact Zone model, where we actually assist clubs as a third-party management model and assist them on how to build a true golf academy that trains their staff to be and holds them accountable to be good instructors, where they're going to make more money, the club's going to make more money, and the members are going to be happier, and you're going to reduce your membership attrition rate by, if the statistics are true, 83%. So those are some pretty powerful things that are needed in the golf industry right now, and that's where we want to make the biggest, pardon the pun, impact in the golf industry.
Yeah, we have to keep the people that are involved engaged and understanding that it's for the betterment of the game, but they also have to feel like they're engaged from that standpoint, because it's so easy to say, oh, I'm just going to put the clubs in the garage and I'm done with the game. That's way too easy.
Way too easy, and sadly, it's what happens 4 million times a year, and that's way too much. We need to cut that in half, and we need to do it quickly for the success in the future of this game.
Well, you know, Bobby, the governing bodies, the USGA, the PGA of America, and, of course, we can throw RNA in there as well, they're all trying to figure out the magic potion to get more people involved in the game.
Yeah. And, you know, I firmly believe that the magic potion is train professionals to be teachers and good teachers, where they can really help people play better golf and get them more involved. And that's really where the juggler knot of why too many people leave the game. It is a hard game, but it's not that hard. And if we did a better job as an industry teaching these players to play better, they wouldn't be leaving the game like they are.
Yeah, here. I give you a lot of credit for that. So well put, Bobby Clampett, as we're getting ready to wrap up the show. We're going to definitely get Bobby back on more towards Masters, maybe the week before Masters, a couple weeks before. We're going to have a little Frank Cherkinian throwdown, and some of the great stories coming from Bobby and such, and we may have another special guest in there or what have you. But we're just out of time. Get out there and practice your game and listen to what Bobby says. You know, engage, impact on golf community, and that's very, very vital for this game. But we're out of time. Get out there and practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.